podcast called Spooky Bop 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 Bop.
What's that song?
It's not Barbara Streisand.
Something Americano.
No Pablo Americano. We don't speak American. Yeah.
How's it go?
I've never met a bear. Beep boop beep. Americano.
People will do the swing dancing to it. Do you remember electro swing?
Yeah. Italo disco.
About 1 year there where everyone was like, maybe. And then everyone realized, oh, no.
Yeah. What's the Barbara Streisand one? Barbara Streisand.
That was by a band called Duck Soup. And there was a thing on the internet where you typed in any phrase.
Yeah.
And it would say that phrase instead of Barbara Streisand.
It would say duck soup.
I'm a fuckhead. Whatever you typed in. Different words in fuckhead.
Oh, that's a good meme.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's probably still up on the internet.
On the internet?
Yeah, if you want to search for duck soup generator, maybe it'll come up. I don't know. I'm not affiliated with it.
Did you know the chipmunk dance is still up?
What is the chipmunk dance?
Oh, you don't know the chipmunk dance?
I don't know the chipmunk dance.
The original. Original meme. It was a web page where you could just go and see the chipmunks dancing to that song.
Was that a YMTND?
What's that one?
It was like ones where you can't break these cuffs. Who gives a shit? My name's Adam Moss. This is
Peter Jones.
This is
Luca Mala.
And welcome back to Meme.
Ooh, Meme.
Ooh, Meme, our spin-off meme podcast. Through a big book of memes and we read them out.
The internet is just a big book of memes.
It's five different memes from five different sections. This first section is visual memes.
Yeah. Found it. Create
Second
your own.
Chapter is rage comics. Third is racist memes.
Can you do one where it makes it say ooh spooky?
Well, let me tell you a little story. create your own version of Barbara Streisand on capitalfm.com. Click that. Cool. Load. Check it out. The genius is at gobarbara.com. You can now create your own version of Duck Sauce's classic dance hit Barbara Streisand. Click here to check it out. Click.
Methinks you have a virus
Error
on your phone now.
Bad gateway. It's gone.
Oh no.
It's offline.
What a loss to the world. But luckily the world has gained the podcast.
This one?
Yeah.
Ooh, spooky.
Spooky.
Welcome to Ooh Spooky. Since we started again with the song, my name's Adam Knox. This is Peter Jones. This is Luca Muller. Together we read a book called Mysteries of the Unexplained. It contains a whole bunch of spooky stories from 1982 in a Reader's Digest compilation. We go through four of them each week now. And then for the fifth story that we do, we read out a listener submit. I've got to stop saying user. I'm not even in IT or anything.
No, listener.
A listener submitted story.
A spookster.
One of the spooksters out there. One of our spooksters. That's what we call our fans now.
Yeah, spooksters.
We don't have fans.
What number episode is this, Pete?
This is number... I'm not going to say it. One less than 70. 70's next week, all right?
Woo.
Last week was 68. This week it's... in between those two.
Mutual.
Don't be so immature.
Mutual oral.
Mutual oral. Sounds like a trust fund.
So this first story is from the section The Unquiet Sky.
Yep.
Prep your accents.
I'm ready.
Policeman. Policeman.
Yeah.
In. Dublin.
Hey, move over further to the left or the right of the road. I'm not sure which.
I said Dublin.
Which one do we drive on? This is the closest I can do.
That's pretty good.
On the last episode, I said that the island's really small population, but you meet a lot of them for how few people there are. The reason I brought that up is because I was at Northcote Shopping Centre the other day.
Yeah.
A shopping centre. A Coles, a Kmart, a Telstra shop, an EB Games, this sort of thing.
Yeah.
A guy came up.
There's a cinema nearby, I believe.
Excuse me, mate. Is that a pub in here? And I was like, I think there's a restaurant sort of on the outside. You can get a beer there. He goes, I want a pint of draft from a tap.
Why did you come here then? To
this
Australia.
Is like 1 p.m. on a Tuesday or something.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow, it's happy hour somewhere in Ireland. Policeman in Dublin on the night of May 9th, 1867, took shelter.
Forget the troubles. Have some bubbles. Sorry, I just thought of that and I had to say it. I don't know what it means and I don't know if it's hurtful.
It's only hurtful if you're from Ireland and are aware of what's happening. Took shelter from an onslaught of nuts or berries that fell from the sky.
Not enough time to tell which.
It's like a trail mix.
Straight from the sky. Fell from the sky in great quantities and with great force during a tremendous rainfall. The berries were described as being in the form of a very small orange. That is one way to describe berries.
Yeah.
They're like tiny little juice packets. The form of a very small orange, about half an inch in diameter, black in color. But you don't know what kind of berry they be, but they be black.
They're like an orange, but imagine a black orange. And also much smaller.
A small black orange.
Basically shared none of the same traits as an orange. But it did fall from the sky, like an orange.
I never consumed an orange that didn't fall from the sky. And when cut across, seemed as if made from some hard, dark brown wood. They're cutting them open.
That sounds more like a nut to me.
Yeah, yeah. They also possess a slight aromatic odor. According to one observer, the objects were simply hazelnuts.
This guy's boned all of them.
Simply hazelnuts preserved in a bog for centuries.
Oh, shit.
The answer is simple. These are bog-preserved hazelnuts that have exploded out.
All we know for sure, there's two activities. There's burying hazelnuts in bog and chasing the cow.
It's my turn next week.
In the meantime, I'm off to bury more hazelnuts in the bog.
You're going to bury me lucky hazelnuts so I can catch that fucker next week. A cow ain't getting away again, I'll tell you that much. I ran into the bog, crafty bastard.
You know what I get for catching the cow? Hazelnuts.
Fresh from the bog.
Centuries old, but just as good as they were the day before they were buried.
But you're going to eat that nut straight away. You've got to wait for generations before that nut's fit for eating. Go and chase the cow and busy yourself.
They be not berries falling from the sky. They be bog hazelnuts. Yeah, you're all fools. I'd know the taste of bog if I did know.
A hazelnut, otherwise known as a bog orange.
Isn't a bog orange that thing that the Dawn French used to sell? I love a bit of bog orange.
All right.
How they came to fall from the sky, however, was not explained.
Bog explosion.
Oh, okay, of course.
Like a build up of pressure in the bog,
yep.
And then poof, goes on the sides of the toilet.
Yuck, 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 yuck.
That doesn't come from underneath, though. You know that, right? Oh, my shit.
Someone else has shat into this toilet.
Right at the exact moment I chose to.
Someone's shitting up at me.
I did a normal shit, and when it hit the water, it exploded.
This next story is from the section Beyond the Walls of Time. The following story is told by Sir Harold Nicholson in his essay, Coincidences.
Oh, okay. That's weird. I wrote a similar essay.
I'm going to know. I've got an explanation for whatever the fuck happens in this one.
In May of 1866, Prince Bismarck, while riding on the Unter den Linden...
You got what I need. That's Prince Bismarck. Bismarck Key, you fucks.
That's the band's called Bismarck Key?
No, the guy. I'm pretty sure it's a person's name.
Oh,
name
I don't know
Bismarck
that.
Key.
I don't know that mean. Much information.
This, that's the name. That's the prince.
Well, so that was pretty... Someone really enjoyed that riff?
Maybe. It might have not been good enough. I didn't feel like it was good enough as I was doing it.
Okay. Was approached by a student of the name of Cohen Blind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Biz. B-I-Z.
Yeah.
Space. Marky.
Yeah.
Wow. Bismarck that's a good riff.
Thanks.
They say you're just a friend.
They say you're just a friend. Oh, baby, you. He sings like that.
Yeah.
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm not a businessman. I'm Bismarcky.
So this Cohen Blind.
We should have known. Look, we provide a lot of sort of outdoor tents to weddings, but our business has a terrible name.
Beers Monkey.
Beers Monkey. Okay, we've got the photocopier set up under the marquee. It's a business marquee, fuck's sake.
So Prince Bismarck was approached by a student named Cohen Blind, who pulled out a revolver and fired four shots at point blank range.
Fuck.
Two of the bullets missed their mark. Point blank range.
How to be a dog?
Point blank, and he's missed with two. Two of the four have missed.
Damn.
One ended Bismarck's shoulder.
His last name's Blind, yeah?
Yeah. He, however, had perfect vision. That was an ironic surname. One ended Bismarck's shoulder and the other penetrated the lung. Point blank, bang, bang, two miss, one shoulder, one lung. So he's got one on target.
The Prince Bismarck going like, hoo, hey, hoo.
The Iron Chancellor was not a man to be disturbed by a little thing like that.
The Iron Chancellor.
I guess the Prince Bismarck's nickname was the Iron Chancellor.
That's cool.
He was not a man to be disturbed by a little thing like that.
How's this for a nickname? The. Good start. Iron. Ooh. Chancellor. Oh.
Okay, well.
King? Prince?
Look out, here comes Iron Chancellor. Not catchy, is it? No, especially when your name's Prince Bismarck.
Yeah.
Busy Prince. The Iron Chancellor was not a man to be disturbed by a little thing like that, and in 6 days he could again be observed erect and dominant.
Damn.
Riding down the Unter der Linden.
Before that, he was sort of thumbing it in and he was pretty submissive.
Air Blind, meanwhile, because Mr. Cohen Blind, meanwhile, had been arrested and the revolver had been taken from him. It was presented to Bismarck as a souvenir of the occasion. Here, Prince, here's the gun that shot you.
It has two bullets still in it, I'm assuming.
In 1886, this is 20 years later, the father of my friend Leopold was staying with Bismarck.
Your friend? You, Pete?
Yeah, my friend.
This is you, Pete?
Sorry, this is my story.
This is coincidence, book man.
Coincidence, book man. The father of my friend Leopold was staying with Bismarck, to whom he was related by marriage. There were several ladies staying in the house. And after luncheon, well, he's erect and dominant, so why wouldn't there be? There were several ladies staying in the house. And after luncheon, the Princess Bismarck took the ladies around the room, showing them the historical objects which they contained. Bismarck himself and the men guests. Men guests. meanwhile, us men guests were in the smoking room puffing Hamburg cigars.
Honestly, the BBC needs to change its practices because their panel shows have too many men guests.
Yes. They were puffing Hamburg cigars. Too bad if you didn't like cigars back in the day and you were a man, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
What did you have to do? Is that why people went off hunting? So they didn't have to be in such an enclosed space with all that cigar smoke? What are we going to do? Oh, sorry. We're going to excuse us, ladies. We're all going to go puff smoke with each other. Boys, you know? With the lads.
The fellas.
That's why we puff.
Absolute fellas.
That's why we puff cigars while we do this podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever smoked a cigar.
I think I have smoked a cigar.
They're weird.
Yeah, they're huge. Not into it.
I think I had a little suck on one.
Yeah.
It's nice. Very wet. It was all wet on the end.
Well, it goes in your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all damp.
Yuck.
It's all gross and soggy.
It's wet and hot.
That's probably what we genuinely have. I know, like, sometimes I will make fun of somebody who goes, over the years, men have gotten weaker, but listen to us.
No, but I'm...
The guy's a bit wet. This guy got shot in the lung, and then he continued to smoke.
I'd do that, for sure. I just wouldn't fucking smoke a cigar.
I feel like these are the exact conversations these guys are just having in those smoking rooms. No one was in there. They don't know what they were saying. They're probably lying like, you wet. It's wet. Yuck.
Remember our grandparents used to chew rocks? It's hard and cold.
Yo, listen to us. Listen to all of us here. We're sucking down. Well, I've been shot. Imagine, yeah, they say that men are getting weaker over the years. Well, my granddaddy, he
had his head cut off.
All his teeth fell out. Kept sucking rocks.
He murdered a bunch of his neighbors with his own forehead. Then here are us, ignoring the women folk and sucking cigars with each other, like a bunch of little pussies. Not like in the olden days. Back then, murdering men with their own hands. We're using guns, like children would, like toys.
Look, I've still got the gun that I was shot with here. I'm sure it's not loaded. That's where this is going, right?
We don't know that for sure.
No, I do.
The voices of the ladies could be heard in the Chancellor's study. And this, a voice said, is the pistol which Blind used in 1866. There was a murmur of interest followed by a loud report. Bismarck leapt from his chair and dashed into the...
Breaking. Fucking idiot wife shoots gun.
Bismarck leapt from his chair and dashed into the adjoining room. The ladies were standing looking at each other in astonishment. A smell of powder hung in the air.
What happened in here? I know I was just smoking 800 cigars in that room, but I think I smell powder.
The pistol, still smoking, lay upon the ground. The Chancellor gave way to one of his rare outbursts of fury. Well, this is one of my patented rare outbursts of fury.
I don't normally say this, but what the fuck?
They call me the Iron Chancellor, but actually I'm quite calm all the time. How could he thundered, anyone have been so foolish as to touch the revolver? It was a mere miracle. How could someone so foolish leave a loaded revolver as like an ornament? It was a mere miracle that no one had been killed. Never must anyone be allowed to touch that weapon again. In 1906...
This gun is still around?
Yeah. Well, there's one bullet left in it. My friend Leopold was also staying with his cousins in Freudenskruschkre. It was a wet afternoon and some young... Probably from all the cigars. It was a wet afternoon and some young people had come over to luncheon. He showed them the Chancellor's study. He took up the pistol from the writing table. This, he said... This is so funny that every time someone comes around, they're just picking up that.
You have to see my gun. I don't really want... No, that's fine. We just go to the cigar room.
Is the pistol with which Blind shot at Bismarck in 1866, 20 years later, when my father was staying here, some ladies were visiting the house, and one of them took up the pistol and foolishly pulled the trigger like a woman would. Like this.
I, a man, would never make.
They foolishly pulled the trigger like this, and there was a flash and a report. They left aside and stared at each other with white faces.
Is this the son now, did you say?
Yeah, this is Leopold. Right. It was his dad last time.
Right.
They leapt aside and stared at each other with white faces. One of the girls had been slightly hurt in the hand. Leopold himself was bleeding at the finger and his hand was burnt and black with gunpowder. The bullet, the sixth and last bullet in the revolver of Herr Blind, was embedded in his bicep.
Why are they leaving him in there?
Yeah. Take the fucking bullets
Pop
out.
Pop that shit out.
That's the first. If I held a gun, the first thing I would do after having seen action movies is eject the clip.
Yes.
Give it one pull to get that bullet that's in the chamber out. And then you slide it forwards so that it doesn't come out. And you take the whole gun apart. Then you do a backflip.
I would. Yeah. If I was the man shot by the gun that had two bullets still in it, I'd take the bullets out of the gun and put them on display next to the gun, mate.
Sure. These are the bullets that were meant to kill me, but I'm here. The gun, you sell.
And also, how is this a coincidence?
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
There's no coincidence.
It's just family full of idiots.
Marking this essay called Coincidence is going like, why is it called? Maybe a better title would be Dumb Family. The Dumpsons. You could call them that. Something like that. Like an essay title, like The Dumpsons.
The Dumpsons.
Oh, hey, ladies. Check it out. Some foolish ladies were playing around with this. Bang!
Notice that the only one who didn't actually shoot anybody was a woman. So, if they were in charge, I think wars would end.
Okay, well, we should can debate that later on in the podcast.
Hillary should be president right now.
I mean, look, we can get into that right now if you really want
to. Who are you going to endorse? Joe Rogan's put out his endorsement. Who's yours, Adam Knox?
Well, okay, oh, yeah, the pod has to endorse somebody. We can make Politico.
Okay, who's going for it?
What do you mean, who's going for it?
For the presidency.
Trump.
Yeah.
You got Trump. You got Bernie.
Yeah.
You got Buttigieg.
Yeah.
You got Yang.
Okay. Yeah.
Who else is there? Warren.
You got Warren.
Warren.
You got Klobuchar.
Klobuchar.
You got Biden.
Biden.
Yeah. Okay. You got Bloomberg.
Bloomberg.
Who are you endorsing?
Make a choice.
I don't want it to. Well, it's Bernie, 100%. That's my only. I don't have a joke.
It's Bernie, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I didn't realize we were doing this podcast with a fucking communist.
We need to eat
Trump
the rich.
From me.
Bernie will help us eat the rich, and he'll eat them very, very slowly and very noisily because he's an old man.
We're making all the gags. He's getting his equal share of the laughs. It's bullshit.
Yeah. You get free laughs under Bernie.
Universal chuckle care.
Universal riffs? No.
Yeah.
Like, we're already paying our way for our riffs.
Jeff Bezos hasn't laughed in 20 years.
He's been done no riffs.
He goes to the Cayman Islands and sits there with a straight face. It's not even where he lives.
Mm. He just goes there. That's where he sits.
Yeah, he sits there with a straight face, pretending.
Do you know how many riffs are made about Amazon every single year? Millions. Do you know how many riffs Amazon makes? None.
Those workers are making all the riffs, getting none of the laughs. They got a riff in warehouses. They have to come up with riffs about virtually any item you could think of.
That's why I support universal riffs.
Yeah. Universal baker.
Personally, I stand for maybe we could have a private riffs option. I just think that that's also a possibility. If you're able to generate your own riffs, if you can afford your own riffs, then sure. Continue to. I prefer my.
What is riffs?
I don't know. I just heard somebody say that on a podcast one time, so I'm going with it. What is a riff?
Not this. Let's keep going.
I don't know. This next story is from the section.
This is the Obamacare of riffs.
Unearthly Fates. I'd like to change.org this riff. On May 15th, 1970.
Most of the good riffs come out of Ohio anyway. It's crazy, but like the important riffs come out of it.
May 15th, 1970, Edward and Stefania?
Who?
That's a long
Stefania.
Name.
Stefania. Yeah, you're spot on. Edward and Stefania Andrews attended a trade association's cocktail party at the Chicago Sheridan Hotel.
Nerds.
Both 63 years old.
Old nerds.
They were a typical solid citizens, which definitely sounds like the way you describe people who are about to murder somebody.
Yeah. Mm.
Respectively, a bookkeeper and a credit investigator with a comfortable home in the suburban Arlington Heights. At the party, Edward Andrews complained of mild illness, ascribing it to hunger pangs.
Okay.
There were only hors d'oeuvres to eat.
Being hungry isn't being sick, Edward.
I'm never hungry going, I'm fucking ill.
Yeah. I'm a little bit sick. I'd say hunger pangs.
Rick, I've got to have some medicine and then you eat a burger.
Well, he said they're hunger pangs because they're only hors d'oeuvres to eat.
Right.
They went downstairs to the hotel garage where the attendant noticed that there was no food available, so they couldn't eat anything there. Go to the kitchen.
Why are you in the fucking garage?
What's going on with this fucking idiot?
So they went down to the hotel garage where the attendant noticed that Stefania...
Just have more hors d'oeuvres. A bunch of them.
That's the thing with small foods is that you can make them as big as you want after a while.
He looks at a plate of rice and goes, too small.
Yeah.
Tiny little hors d'oeuvres.
I have to eat like 1,000 of these. This is not a meal.
And one big one. I want an unsliced loaf of bread.
Unsliced rice. The attendant...
I hate beans. It takes me weeks to get through a can and they're so small.
They went downstairs to the hotel garage where the attendant noticed that Stefania seemed to be crying that Andrews acted somewhat under the weather. As they drove out, he scraped an exit door with the car fender.
Damn.
That's hungry as hell.
I'm starving. She's upset. I've got to get the fuck out of here.
Falling downstairs. Oh, fuck, I'm hungry.
No one ever saw Mr. and Mrs. Andrew again. Not going back there. Only hors d'oeuvres.
He was a spy. They both sounded too boring to not be spies. Right. Stefania married Edward.
Why were they being weird?
Because he got poisoned. By another spy. That was poison.
By another spy.
At a trade association's cocktail party?
That's exactly where spy shit happens. That was some spy shit.
What year was this?
1970.
Good year for
that's
spies.
That's a huge spy year.
Yeah.
That's the pair of spies.
Well, do you want to hear the theory?
Yeah.
Police theorized that Andrews might have driven off a bridge into the Chicago River.
That's not an explanation of why.
Then he got water damage in his brain, went to the party, and felt sick.
Yeah.
But dragging and metal detectors could not lead them to the car. This report came from a telephone interview with the Arlington Heights, Illinois Police Department.
Okay.
Hey, we need something extra for our little spooky book.
I know. Wife cried about how drunk her husband was and they crashed on the way home.
That'll do.
I guess that's it, actually, wasn't it? He was drunk.
Yeah.
And then she was definitely just like, you've made such a scene, Edward.
And then they need some food. Let's get him some food.
It was a giant hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah. That's what a strange inclusion in this book.
The drunk man crashed in a river. Or he was a spy.
What
are these bridges like back in the day where you can just drive off?
They had that weak concrete back then that would like crumble.
Well, do you reckon they were just like flat?
They were flat? But cars were way stronger because they didn't have like the crumple technology that we
have. You're saying cars were stronger in 1970?
Yeah. They were. Really? They were more, that's why people died in car crashes more, because cars didn't crumple like how they do now.
I thought people died in car crashes more because people didn't know how to drive properly.
Yeah.
And well, the seatbelts.
No.
Seatbelts.
Partly seatbelts, but people knew how to drive from day dot.
Really? From the first one, everyone knew straight away?
People are worse at driving now because more people drive.
More people drive now, so less people know how to drive?
That's what I reckon.
This seems crazy.
That doesn't seem
people
right.
People were better at driving earlier in the technology.
Yeah, because cars moved slower too. These cars go so fucking quick, and any motherfucker.
So you're saying we're worse at driving now than they were in 1970 when they were always just driving off bridges?
Maybe this.
You ever known someone who drove off a bridge?
Oh.
No, of
imagine
course not.
Imagine if I did, though. That would have brought back
some
fucking
memories. Yeah, that would have been wild.
Yeah, well, we're hoping for a little tale, but you don't have one. All right. This next story, the final story from the book, but not the final story of the episode,
woo!
Is from Monsters and More. A compelling piece of evidence in the case for the Yeti was discovered in November 8th, 1951.
It's a piece of evidence, but I don't find it compelling.
By British mountaineers Eric Shipton and Michael Ward. The two climbers returning from a reconnaissance expedition on Everest were exploring the southwestern slopes of the Menlung Glacier when they came upon a fresh trail of enormous but human-looking footprints leading along the edge of an ice mass.
I'm compelled. Tell you to fuck off, Pete.
Well, I'm compelled to the idea that Andre the Giant was walking ahead of
them. He's in his big unitard.
The Shipton photographed the trail. Close-ups of one particularly crisp imprint indicate a not-quite-human foot, about 13 inches long and considerably broader than a mountain boot. This would suggest a biped about 8 feet tall. It must have been limber, too. Where the tracks crossed a crevice, Shipton wrote afterward, one could quite clearly see where the creature had jumped and used its toes to secure purchase on the snow on the other side.
Wow.
How do you explain that?
A jumping Yeti. That's crazy. I don't know how to explain it. Surely if a Yeti lived there, though, don't all the dead bodies get preserved on Everest because it's so cold and high up?
Hell yeah, they do.
Yeah,
so
you'd be able to see one. That's where you could get one.
Yeah. Maybe there was that Yeti wearing like the bright green shoes and the purple ski vest.
Yeah. You ever play those Yeti flash games? Those were my shit back in the day.
Damn, you had a great childhood.
Yeah, that shit was awesome, dude. Wasn't allowed a console, played flash games. One knee's throwing a penguin, awesome stuff. Another one is fucking flipping off an iceberg or something. Woo!
Dude, I heard a story about a Yeti flipping off an iceberg. Did his toes give him purchase?
What fucking made me think of it, man.
Dude, that's crazy.
Pretty weird, right?
All right.
Now, that's a coincidences.
Do you have a story from a listener there,
I do
Peter?
Have a story from a listener. This story, we got sent it on Instagram from Fiacra.
I saw this name on our socials the other day. I was like, damn, that's a cool name.
It's Irish.
Nice. Sorry Irish about name. All of that stuff earlier.
Well, don't worry. We'll do some more.
Okay.
Yeah, you know how people like it when you
I
do their accent to them.
I can see your phone screen, and down the bottom, I believe, is a Guinness logo.
No, I think it's just a harp.
Yeah, right. Well, the Guinness logo is a harp.
So, Fiatra?
Let me look up how to pronounce it.
Yeah, just make a decision now that. And we'll go through.
Yep, here we go. Here we go.
Fiacra. I would guess.
Here we go. This is by Brid Ellis. Didn't play.
Oh, a lot of silent letters. All right. Fiacra.
Woo, woo.
I wanted to do that straight away, but for some reason, like 10 seconds of silence before she says the fucking name.
So Fiacra.
She just forgot the person's name. She went, hey.
Fiacra sent us a story. It's about Loftus Hall. It took place in Wexford, Ireland, where they grew up. Mm-hmm. And I've been down to see it before. It's a creepy place and the story is pretty good. Sick. So here's the story.
Nice.
The legend of Loftus Hall dates from 1766 when the house was occupied by the Tottenham family.
Sounds like something someone would say before they chugged a beer. I'm the legend of Loftus Hall!
Lord Tottenham had married Anne Loftus some years earlier and the couple had two daughters, one called Elizabeth and other also called Anne. But his wife became ill and died while those girls were still very young, and Tottenham took another wife to assist in the bringing up of his daughters. Oh, yeah, that's why he took another wife.
Yeah, I'm sure you find her real helpful.
You know what I like most about you? That you assist in the bringing up of my daughters. At the time, many ships landed on the shores of the peninsula, and it was customary for their occupants to take shelter from storms at the Great Hall. It was during one such storm, after Tottenham's daughters had grown to young women, that a ship pulled up unexpectedly at a nearby Slade Harbour, and a stranger made his way to Loftus Hall, where he too was taken in. This time, though, the storm continued for days and even weeks, and so the stranger continued to reside at the big house.
I guess a hall, when it comes down to it, is really just a big house.
A big house. Isn't that what they call prison?
Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
Lady Anne Tottenham found herself becoming close to the visitor during all this time. And they would spend many hours sitting and talking to each other in the tapestry room. Oh, I bet.
Leave the tapestry room door open.
You better be looking at the tapestries in there.
If this tapestry is rocking.
Of course they went into the tapestry room. That's the funnest room in the house. Why they've been in there for so long, that's what I'm worried about.
Oh, don't worry. They're just talking and sitting.
Pretty quiet at the moment. Must be sitting.
Well, it's a tapestry room, so all the tapestries on the floor definitely wouldn't be dulling any movement.
Before spending the night playing cards with other members of the family and occasional visitors. Mm-hmm. During one of these games...
Wait, where are these visitors fucking coming from?
All over!
The ships that are landing on the peninsula.
People are just always popping into
the Great
Hall. Yeah,
but there's been a storm for weeks.
Yeah, yeah, people can still pop in during a storm. It's Ireland.
Okay.
During one of these games, Lady Anne dropped a card and leaned down to pick it up.
She went under the desk for quite a while. I've seen this movie.
Whoa.
She saw a cloven hoof and began to scream. The stranger had been exposed as...
A goat.
A goat man.
The devil.
The what? Goat. A goat.
The
a goat.
Devil.
They were playing cards with a goat.
No.
And he was beating them and they're embarrassed.
That's why I like the tapestry. I was wondering when we were in the tapestry room why you kept munching on those tapestries. It's because you're a goat.
No, the devil.
Yeah, goat.
No, the devil.
How does a goat sail a boat though? Goat, boat, it rhymes. Makes sense. A
he
goat.
Was the devil. The
boat I can't goat. Believe a goat came to Ireland.
Well...
The stranger had been exposed as the devil.
The goat.
The devil. The greatest devil of all time.
The boat goat. Greatest trick the devil ever pulled was making you think he was a goat.
He immediately disappeared through the roof in a ball of fire, leaving the family.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a fucking
man.
Just like, goat. Oh, I've dropped my card. You're the devil.
I can safely put my goat feet back on underneath this table.
Yeah. Imagine being down the other end of the table here and you're the devil, and then the devil flies away up through the ceiling.
Shit.
He began leaving the family shocked in the card room.
They have a card room and a tapestry room.
Yeah, well,
no one needs a
It's
hole.
A big house. The Lady Anne in a trauma from which... And Lady Anne was left...
We need a dedicated room to play cards. They're so big.
And Lady Anne was left in a trauma from which she would never recover. It is said that the family grew embarrassed by her state. She got upset that time she saw a goat playing cards.
She sucked off a goat and then she thought it was the devil.
She was in the tapestry room. We don't go in there.
Fucking humiliating, to be honest.
And locked her away in the same tapestry room where she had spent so much time with the stranger. There she remained until her death in 1775, and it is there that her ghost is reputed to have haunted the house and surrounds ever since.
Is it her ghost?
Or her goats. Meanwhile, poltergeist-like activity was blamed on the spirit of the devil for the many years that followed. While an exorcism...
I didn't suck off a goat!
Slamming every door in the kitchen. While an exorcism was carried out many years later by the local friar Thomas Broaders, it is said it wasn't 100% effective and that the house is still haunted to this very day.
Damn.
Sorry, father, you did a shit-ass job.
What does it matter that the devil was there if all he did was talk to someone?
Yeah, what's he doing
cards?
Is that his role? Just drive one woman crazy for the rest of her
life? Like, what's the devil's fucking wasting his time? Go like, oh, I don't have any threes. You have to go and fish.
He just popped in and it's like, it's storming like the whole time. Yeah, you know us people who live in fire, we love rain. The giver of life. That's what we love. Us, the devil.
Yeah.
It's me, the devil. You want to go sit in the tapestry room for a little bit and I'll suck myself off?
What's up? I'm the devil. Ah, sorry, ignore that. Ignore that. I didn't do that.
My cloven looking under the table, looking at everybody's feet while you're down there.
Just going to pick up the car.
Oh, I'm upset.
That's funny. Back then, I guess it was rude to look down or something. That's crazy that they hadn't seen a cloven hoof until that point.
Yes, it is weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what else is weird? The devil flying away just then.
Yeah. I don't know how do people think things work? So the devil is real, lives in hell, but also comes to earth. But he's a goat when he is.
And
but
he's can pretty also calm.
Travel by just disappearing into fire and then
chooses also, to get both. Yeah.
Also, like, he's the devil, and it's just like, all right, so the devil's come to visit, right? And so it's raining the whole time, and he's a stranger, and he's hanging out with this lady. And it's just like, so what's his end game? Because it's just like, is his end game just to hang out and chill out for a little bit?
He was going to make her wreck those tapestries or something.
Yeah. But otherwise, pull a prank on her. I'm just going to hang out for a little bit. I'm just going to sit here. So, suck my dick.
Gotcha.
Well, you're going to be a bad guest. Never going to change the toilet paper. Leave the pantry door open. Fuck you.
Speaking of endless torment, we'll be back next week.
Thanks for sending it in, by the way.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Fiacra.
We will have four more stories from the book and one more story from you. So
if you want to send it in, jump on our social.
We should call this section You Spooky.
You Spooky. Nice. That's good.
Yep.
If you've got a You Spooky, send it to any of our socials, jump in our DM, send us a private message.
Even if you don't have one, go to our socials and follow it and stuff. I would love that so much.
Yeah, and like that one, it doesn't have to be... you don't have to be directly involved, but like it's from your hometown.
That story wasn't in the book and I've never heard it, so it's good.
Even if it's a story a friend told you or some shit, if it's like a real thing.
Yeah, love it. We love it.
Yeah, I heard a story of a girl.
Oh, yeah.
Cried a river, drowned the whole world.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's so many people.
Yeah.
We'll be back next...
Don't know how I'm singing this song and the reality of this. Everyone drowned.
And the fact that she drowned the whole world, but you're hearing a story about it? You're not even... Don't remember it firsthand? This is the story.
This is the story.
Oh, he's telling the story. Sorry. For some reason, I thought the lyrics were, I heard a story of a girl. Who cares?
Did you know she looks so sad in photographs?
Do you know who wrote that song? Biz Markie.
We'll be back next week with another episode of Ooh Spooky. Thanks for listening this week and continue to listen next week, please.
What?
Right.